Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. And boy, what a big weekend for college athletics. And no, I am not talking about Texas winning the Women's College World Series, although the softball tournament is incredibly entertaining, and the TV ratings are reflecting that as far as the Women's World Series was concerned. No. I'm not talking about the Super Regionals, good baseball, including the Louisville Cardinals. That's right. Making it back to Omaha and punching their ticket. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about the Friday news dump. The House settlement was accepted by the judge, Claudia Wilkins, on Friday night at like 8 or 9 o'clock. And all weekend at CMA Fest, I was doing Sirius XM College Sports Radio with Caroline. It was the band getting back together, just like good old time sake, for old time's sakes. Caroline and I, and then Chris Childers, who's great, was with us yesterday. And she texted me on Friday night, because we were on for 2 hours on Saturday. And she texted me about the House settlement. And she said, this is going to be the big story tomorrow on College Sports Radio. And who am I to argue with Caroline about what's going to be the big story on College Sports Radio? Again, that's her turf, not necessarily mine. Though I do not hate college football, as she says that I do. In fact, I think I like it more than anybody gives me credit for. But that's just me. And I said, I understand it's the big topic. I'm not sure I totally understand what this all means. So I called a couple of athletic directors. And I said, so what's the deal with the House settlement here? Like, what is the... And so I got a lot of thoughts now from over the weekend of kind of analyzing what it means, hearing people react to it, and again, talking to people inside the game. This was not a surprise on Friday when the House settlement came down. They have been talking about this, and they have known what is in this for months. This is like Aaron Rodgers signing with the Steelers. Nobody was surprised by Aaron Rodgers signing with the Steelers. You want to know how I know? Because Steelers-Packers was already set for Sunday Night Football. So they knew. And they knew, and we knew, and you knew. And that's the same way with the House settlement. So nobody was surprised by this. But the first thing is, I talked to two separate athletic directors, and I asked specifically, how does this affect me? And what I really mean by that is, how does this affect you, the fan? And I'm a fan too, even though, again, Caroline says that I'm not a college football fan. I very much am a college football fan. How does this affect me watching the games on a Saturday or going to watch my favorite university play or whatever? And the athletic director that I talked to said, yeah, it really doesn't. It affects us. And what goes on behind the scenes and how we go about paying the players and everything else, there are effects there. And maybe there will be an added tax on tickets to cover the $20 million to pay the players. But again, these universities, for the most part, operate with about $1.5 billion budgets. So $20 million is just a drop in the bucket when it comes to a $1.5 billion budget. As far as we are concerned, there's nothing here that makes me think that we won't watch college game day on Saturday morning or that by Saturday afternoon we won't be complaining about SEC officials and that we won't have an SEC championship game which features Texas, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, Auburn, A&M, LSU, etc. It's not like a lot's going to change. We're still going to fill out our March Madness bracket pools at the office. It'll be okay. The second thought I have with all of this is this NCAA NIL clearinghouse that's going to be run by the consulting firm Deloitte. By the way, I got to tell you, I wish I had thought of Deloitte years and years and years ago, a consulting firm that consults businesses on everything. What a great business model. If that business fails, you don't get in trouble. You're just consulting. So Deloitte is going to run a clearinghouse, which means that any NIL deal over $600 has to go to the NIL clearinghouse and it has to be approved by Deloitte. But not only does this seem almost impossible to enforce, again, they're just going to approve the contract or disallow the contract. You can put whatever you want in the contract. The question is, how do you enforce it? If all Deloitte's doing is saying, hey, we're only looking at NIL deals that are over $600, and you say, okay, well, this NIL deal with Johnny's Tire Barn, you know, for Joe Johnson is for $6,000, and he's going to make a couple social media posts, and then they just write him a check for $600,000, how is Deloitte going to stand in the way of that? I mean, they don't have access. They can't subpoena Joe's Tire Barn's business records, and they can't subpoena Johnny Joe's bank account. So I don't know how they're going to do that. And then secondly, with the clearinghouse, somebody has to explain to me, somebody smarter than I am, somebody has to explain to me how that's constitutional. Again, I have a contract with 102.5 The Game. I agreed to my end of the bargain, and they agreed to theirs. There was a representative for me. There was a representative for them. At the time, it was a guy named Dennis. He represented them. That's how it works. Well, this clearinghouse was signed by a judge. This settlement was signed by a judge. The NCAA had representation in the settlement. But again, Johnny Joe, who's a 17-year-old in Nebraska, that's a five-star recruit, he didn't have somebody representing his interest. So how is that constitutional for the NCAA's clearinghouse, for Deloitte, to say, oh, no, you can't take that $2,000. Again, it not only seems unconstitutional, it also seems like it's not enforceable. So I don't see how that's going to work, and I fully expect there to be a lawsuit on July 2nd at the latest, because this goes into effect on July 1st. The third thing about this settlement, this house settlement and clearing house and $20.5 million or whatever, let's just say everybody does play by the rules. Again, when's the last time in your life in college athletics anybody has played by the rules? And the answer, I think we can all agree, is never. But let's just say that everybody decides to play by the rules. And so everybody ends up with $20.5 million this year to give those student athletes. The way they decide to break up the kitty is going to be fascinating. Because all those coaches like to play nice, and they all like to pretend they're friends, and they all support them on Twitter. Great job, Coach Jim Bob. You did it. But when it comes to who's getting a bite at the table, that's going to be something that becomes very contentious in these athletic departments. I mean, I'm just going to say it right now. If Texas only has $20.5 million and Jim Schlossnagel, who signed for a massive contract last year and was promised all these resources, I mean, are you really going to go to Jim Schlossnagel and say, well, I'm sorry, Jim, but we got to pay Arch Manning. So I hate to break it to you, but nothing there. And it's not going to be so much about football. I think every one of these coaches is going to understand, hey, football, unless you're Kansas, football is what kind of guides all of this. But it's going to get messy when it comes to baseball and basketball and women's basketball and all the other sports. My fourth thought on this with the clearinghouse, that again, I'm not a lawyer, but how is Title IX not affected by this? Again, Title IX, if you receive federal funding, and they all do, if you receive federal funding, you have to pay the exact same amount for women's sports as you do for men's sports. Every men's basketball program that brings in money and flies charter flights and stays at nice hotels and has big budgets has to do the exact same for the women's program. That is Title IX. For years, There were women's sports that had full scholarships to balance out football. There were not full scholarships in baseball. You know, you could not put an entire scholarship roster together in baseball because you could not with Title IX do that. But volleyball, everybody gets a full ride. Make it make sense? All I can tell you is Title IX. Again, if we've got $20 million in the kitty, if I'm not mistaken with Title IX, wouldn't there have to be $10 million going to women's sports and $10 million going to men's sports? I see the reports about the expectation being that football will get 75% of the given budget, again, on average. And that makes sense. But at the same time, I mean, let's be real. If we're doing Title IX, I don't think you can do that. So, again, this House settlement, everybody's treating it like it's some massive news. Everybody's acting like this is kind of the end-all, be-all as far as, oh, my God, this is a new era for college sports. Oh, my God, amateurism is dead. Oh, my God. And I'm sitting here saying, like, you know, is this really going to change much? Somebody explain to me. We're already paying the players now. And even though technically it goes through the collectives, we all know the schools were doing it. So what's going to change here? 615-737-1025, your reaction to the House settlement. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in here on the program. And then coming up next, what Paul Feinbaum had to say. Holy crap, was this dramatic. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game. Okay, Feinbaum. So I heard that cut, too. I think everybody heard that. There were articles written. Paul Feinbaum says the NCAA is dead with the House settlement. Okay. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. Number one, the rich are only going to get richer with this House settlement. Well, if everybody's on the up and up as far as the House settlement is concerned, doesn't that mean everybody's going to be the same? You're only allowed to spend $20.5 million on your teams. Maybe the basketball schools can spend more, but again, this is really only the Power Four, which football comes first. So if everybody splits up $20.5 million and the only guys making money off their name, image, and likeness are actual guys signing endorsement deals because they're famous, then everybody will be somewhat the same. Then that means that Vanderbilt will have the same money to spend as Texas. Now, does anybody think that's actually going to happen? I thought so. Number two. This idea of the NCAA and the enforcement arm of the NCAA, because the NCAA, it's kind of like Law and Order, two separate yet equally important groups. There were the championships that they ran and the enforcement with which they operated. One of them was very serious. Did you go to class? How'd you get that haircut? The other is, again, CBS basketball tournament and the College World Series in Omaha, the greatest show on dirt, and the, sir, pour that can into a cup before you go out to the court. That side still exists, the championships. When's the last time the NCAA enforced anything? When's the last time we had a story about whether or not a guy took their ACT score? When's the last time you heard a story about a player's academic eligibility or ineligibility? I mean, I remember when it was like, oh, I don't know if Johnny Joe will get the grades to be able to qualify. We don't have that anymore. So Paul Feinbaum sitting there saying, oh, the NCAA is now dead. Mark Emmert said, over my dead body, they'll pay the players. Here's something that's kind of crazy about how the law works. And again, I'm not a lawyer, but I've been around enough. The law is what you make of it. So if you've got a contract, Jared and David Reed have signed a contract. And if we've got a contract, it's not about what we agreed to. It is what a judge interprets that to mean and what they, again, that judge, interprets is legal and is not. When the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 that the NCAA cannot stop college athletes from making money off their name, image, and likeness, any real sense of enforcement went out the window. This idea that, oh my God, now we're paying the players. We've been paying the players since 2021. This isn't new. You want to know why LSU won the national title in basketball and baseball? Because they paid Angel Reese, and they paid Paul Skeens, and they paid Dylan Cruz, and they paid Haley Van Lith the next year. They paid. That's how. Again, this isn't new. Paying the players, this isn't like we went from the way it was 10 years ago to now. This has been a development over time. The NCAA did whatever they could. I mean, whatever they could. They did whatever they could in order to try to keep this from happening. They lost 9-0 at the Supreme Court. It is what it is. Once that happened, the NCAA was dead. And now the NCAA's job is, as Paul Feinbaum said, to put on championships. To put on the basketball tournament, to put on the women's tournament, to put on the softball tournament, to put on the baseball tournament, and again, to keep you, if you're a media person or a coach or an athletic director, from walking out to the court with a can of soda in your hand. That's their job. But let's not act like this is new. Because it does feel like there's this big sentiment of like, oh my God, this is so earth-shattering. And I know technically there were collectives and you had to donate to the collective and it had to go through the collective and the NIL, but ultimately the school's paying for it anyways. So this idea that, well, you know, I just think this is going to be, I mean, well, no. This is nothing new. This is not a big deal. This is not anything that's shocking. And here's the thing about the NCAA. As is the case in life, you have two choices, adapt or die. We've heard that from coaches. We've heard that from generals. We've heard that from presidents. We've heard that from everybody. Once the public perception shifted on amateurism, because 20 years ago it used to be, those kids are getting a full scholarship. They don't deserve to get paid. Well, 5 years ago, nobody really thought that anymore. Once the public perception shifted on amateurism, the NCAA refused to change. They decided not to adapt. Well, when you lose 9-0 at the Supreme Court, now you better adapt. And again, the NCAA said, well, you do that over there, but you can't do that over here. Again, it's not legal. They decided to do nothing about it. So now, the NCAA, you reap what you sow. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. And our phone lines, of course, are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Matthew from Jolton says, I'm still going to wake up every Saturday, sit on the couch, and watch college football all day long. And on Friday night, I'm going to make out the schedule of games I'm going to watch. So, as far as the news is concerned about the House settlement, that is true. Your Saturday, I believe, will not be changed. That is not going to be an issue. Now, on your end, Matthew from Jolton, about sitting on the couch all day on Saturday watching college football and making out a schedule on Friday night to watch the games. I can't watch that much college football. And Caroline has for years been of the belief that I don't like college football because I don't care about Clemson's recruiting rankings. But I think I like college football a fair amount. I'm not obsessed with college football, but why am I supposed to be obsessed with college football? I can watch probably two college games a weekend. College games. You know, there's a game that kicks off at 11. There's, you know, you all know the windows. There's the 11 a.m. window. Then there's the 2:30 window. Then there's like an early 6 o'clock window on some channels and a 7 o'clock window on other channels. And then there's that old Pac-12 after dark late at night. I'm not watching the late game. I'm not staying up 11 o'clock at night to watch Arizona State. Sorry, not happening. So that's the first one. I can't watch college football from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Like, I have a life. I can't just watch college football. And I'll be honest, because people will say, well, you like the NFL more than college, which is true. And that is the way most Americans are. They prefer the NFL to college. I can't do the whole NFL day either. Like, I could not watch a 9:30 game. I almost never watch those international games. Almost never. Oh, well, it's the Jaguars and Falcons in London. Good. Go for it. I can't do a whole NFL day. Again, I wake up at like 8 o'clock on Sundays. We'll see what happens now in the near future with Jack in the mix. But wake up at 8 o'clock on a Sunday. I'm doing the pregame show at 9:30 with Chris and Derek. We're off the air at 11:30. I'm watching the Titans at noon. After that, there's that 3 o'clock window, and then there's Sunday Night Football. I really, generally speaking, have to choose one or the other. I can't do a whole day of football. I just can't. And you can't tell me I'm not an NFL fan. I'm a college football fan. I'm just not a college football nut. And I think there is a difference between the two. One texter says, you are not obsessed because your teams are Louisville and Vanderbilt. Well, excuse me, Louisville is a good football team. Like, easy there. Like, we're a good football program. We were in the ACC title game 2 years ago, had a shot at the playoff, and last year, we lost to Miami. I think they're pretty good. Miami, SMU, and Notre Dame. Three teams that either made the playoff or, in Miami's case, right there on the cut line. And then we choked at Stanford. That one was bad. But like, it's not like Louisville is a two-win program. Louisville is a good college football. We're not great, but we're good. And I certainly like college football more than college basketball. And we are a great college basketball program. So enough with the, you know, your team's Louisville. Y'all suck. That's like that guy in the text line or YouTube chat earlier today that was like, where are your Louisville Cardinals? Ha ha, they're at home. I'm like, actually, they're going to Omaha. Tennessee fan. 615-737-1025 with your program that doesn't want to play us. 615-737-1025. I have an admission to make about last night's NBA Finals game. Did you watch the NBA Finals last night? David Reed, did you watch the NBA Finals last night?
I went by long enough to see the score for like 2 seconds, and that was it.
That was it. I have an admission about the NBA Finals. I've got to get off my chest. We'll do it next. Stoneman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game. That was Joe Rexrow. That was Joe's take. Joe defending the NBA. Talking about the product is better. The players are better. The game is better. I tried to watch the NBA Finals last night. So last night, we went out to dinner, I don't know, around 6:30 or so, and I think the game tipped off at like 7:15. So I got in late, you know, we got back from dinner, I went downstairs, I put on the game. And I was like, I need to watch the NBA. I grew up loving basketball, and I can watch a good basketball game, and I'll be on Sirius this week on Wednesday and Thursday, and of course, they're probably going to want to talk basketball. So I'm like, all right, let's watch basketball. I tried. I had to turn it off after the third quarter because it was 9 p.m. I was tired, and quite frankly, I was bored to freaking tears. And I've watched the NBA my entire life. Now, I was born in 1989. I don't remember the first three Jordan championships. I do remember the last three. And from that point on, whether it was Jordan or Kobe and the Lakers, or LeBron James, you know, with Tim Duncan and the Spurs sprinkled in, and a little of those good Detroit Piston teams with Ben Wallace and Rasheed Wallace and Rip Hamilton. And, you know, let's not forget about the year the Knicks were good in 1999. You know, whatever it may be, I am an NBA guy. I remember the New Jersey Nets with Byron Scott as the coach when they were the New Jersey Nets. And they made it to the finals. I remember Allen Iverson and how he beat Kobe in game one. And then the 76ers got curb stomped. So I do care about basketball. I remember the year that we thought it was going to be the Kobe-LeBron showdown. And Dwight Howard in Orlando beat the Cavs. And we got this terrible final. I say this because I'm trying to figure out how we got to this point to where the NBA game was so hard to watch last night. It felt like homework trying to watch the game last night. And I'm sitting there on the couch last night thinking to myself, is it me or is it basketball? Now, while I am open to the idea that it is me, and I've heard people say, hey, if you can't get into this series, then you just don't like basketball. I'm sorry. I think the culprit here is the NBA. It didn't stop me from watching college basketball this year. I loved watching college basketball. But the NBA game is so boring, and it is so long, and there are so many freaking advertisements all over the place. It cheapens the product. These quarters are so long. They're 12-minute quarters, and we got to go down to the sideline reporter to talk to the coach during the game, even though we don't even know who the coaches are, and we don't care. The teams are not interesting. The players are not interesting. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what's interesting about him? He's good. So what? This is the finals. This is where the players that we remember are Larry Bird and Kobe Bryant. We don't even have an Hakeem Olajuwon in this year's NBA finals. And I really believe that the NBA is where Major League Baseball was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, baseball was making a gazillion dollars a year, whether it was the local deals for TV, whether it was the attendance they were making the money, or whether it was the national TV contracts. Baseball was making a fortune because this was when everybody still had cable, so people like my then 80-year-old grandmother in Florida were paying the Marlins every month right out of her pocket on her Comcast bill. Back in those days, baseball was just raking in the cash. And the NBA, with their new TV deals, they're just bringing in the bucks. But that doesn't mean people actually care. And nobody was talking about baseball. And I was like, the game's boring. There are no stars. And there's no reason to watch. Now, there was a reason the one year the Cubs got to the World Series. But other than that, it was kind of a trudge. And you've seen baseball recently and reluctantly start to make changes. Pitch clocks, the universal DH because nobody wants to watch a pitcher hit. No more shifting on the infield because we want more balls in play. Enough with the strikeout, walk, home run results. No more five pitchers in an inning or 10 mound visits during the game. No, let's go. Speed it up. And while baseball, from a popularity standpoint, is not where it was in 2003, it has certainly improved. Baseball is a more watchable product now than it was. Baseball's got stars. Ohtani and Aaron Judge, they've got real stars. Whereas I remember having a discussion with Ryan Porth years ago, saying baseball didn't have any stars. And he said, what do you mean they don't have any stars? There's so many good players. I said, Ryan, when you think of Paul Goldschmidt, and Paul Goldschmidt was a good player. When you think of Paul Goldschmidt, do you think about Sammy Sosa? Do you think about Ken Griffey or Mike Piazza or Randy Johnson or Chipper Jones or Curt Schilling or Roger Clemens or Greg Maddux? But baseball has improved. The NBA makes $1 trillion a year, $1 trillion from their new TV deals. And I don't understand it. I mean, as these deals were getting ironed out, TNT was saying, well, I don't know if we need to meet the big asking price from the NBA. And then Comcast and Amazon were, we'll take the NBA, whatever it costs to get half of TNT's package. We'll do whatever it takes. We'll give you a gazillion dollars. And I kept saying, really? But the ratings on TV keep going down. I don't understand why we're paying all this money for the NBA. And I still don't understand why we ended up paying all this money for the NBA or why they ended up doing it. TNT ended up suing the NBA over them not being able to keep the rights because, oh my God, you got to have the NBA. Really? Is the NBA that important? So I still don't understand why they're making so much money. And good for you. Like, good for you, owner of the teams. Your pockets are doing okay. But the game sucks. It sucks. The game was boring last night. It was never close. The players weren't interesting. The broadcasters on ESPN are subpar at best. It's just a crappy product. And I know the basketball bennies like Joe will talk about how the analytics of the game are so different and how this team would beat the Jordan Bulls by 50, which I don't believe. But I much rather watch, at this point, Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, Harper, Tony Kukoc. I'd rather watch them in their 60s play basketball than watch what I tried to watch last night. That game stunk. It was so boring. And I just think basketball's lost their way. And I think basketball's got to do with baseball, again, reluctantly did 10 years ago, which was change some rules, speed it up. Again, I don't want to see everybody shoot a three every time down the floor. I want to see the big man. I want to see Shaq back in the day. Put him out there. But that game last night, that was terrible. And my prediction, I have not seen the ratings. Reed, do we know if the ratings have come out from last night's NBA game?
I'll check. I'm sure they have.
I have not seen them. I am guessing, and it was a big deal, that they did not crack 9 million for game one. That was a close game. I bet you they didn't crack 8 million. I'm going to say 7.35 is what they got last night, which is a horrendous rating. That is a horrendous rating for a World Series game. That is a get people fired. That is a Sweet 16 game, probably. I'm going to guess 7.5 million last night. And I can't blame them because I couldn't watch it. I tried. I tried. It was awful. A lot of people want to weigh in on this, so we'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game. Okay, that was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last night. Can I just get something off my chest while I'm complaining about the NBA? And boy, the text line is all in on the NBA. I tried to watch last night because I'm going to be on Sirius Wednesday and Thursday, and I know they, you know, NBA and everything else. So I tried to watch last night, so I'm in the loop, and I was just so bored. I was just so bored last night. And again, I don't think the ratings are out for last night's game, which is pretty odd that here we are almost 5 o'clock Central Time and we don't have the ratings, which I think that might be pretty telling. Now, that being said, there's one thing I've got to say. I think the people who run the NBA and ESPN don't actually understand what people like about basketball. And I don't think they understand some of the decisions they make and how they affect the product itself. Now, again, I think the biggest issue is there's not a superstar who's worth watching on TV in order to get people like me to care. There's not a LeBron. There's not a Jordan. There's not a Kobe. There's not a Larry. There's not even, again, an Akeem Olajuwon that is in this. That being said, last night, I got to say, the court advertisements, if you've watched any second of this NBA final, it is nauseating how many ads they have on the floor. I have had YouTube TV since 2018. They are not a sponsor of this show, but if they were, I could do a great read for them because I like YouTube TV. I'm not getting rid of it. I like it. It's very convenient. Enough with the YouTube TV ads. Last night, there's a YouTube TV ad by the bench on each side. There's a YouTube TV ad, you know, CGI'd on the court. There's another ad that's CGI'd on the court. There's a Michelob Ultra ad, you know, along the baseline. Like, enough with the ads. It cheapens the products. I watched on YouTube the other day, the 1992 NBA Finals. I wanted to see, you know, kind of what the intros were back then compared to what it is now. And all it had on the court were the Chicago Bulls logos, the 1992 Finals logo, and on the main board at the beginning of the game, it had NBA on NBC. That was it. The jerseys, had an NBA logo and an NBA Finals logo. These jerseys don't have any NBA Finals logos on them. The court didn't have an NBA Finals logo on it. They had to CGI this bullcrap Larry O'Brien trophy onto the court because they got so much criticism after game one for not having the Finals logo anywhere on the court. I mean, it's a disgrace. The starting lineups, they don't do that anymore. And the broadcast crew, I don't know what I dislike more, the jersey patches or the broadcast crew. You know, years ago, the first iteration of the Nashville Cats, when they used to play at the then Gaylord Entertainment Center at Bridgestone Arena, and I love the Nashville Cats, they went to the Arena Bowl. They had an Amoco. Remember the gas station Amoco? They had an Amoco patch on their uniforms. And this was before baseball and basketball and everybody else went into the uniform patches. They had a uniform patch on there. And I thought, man, arena football, and again, this was back in the day, arena football is so poor that they have to put an ad on their jersey. Well, now the Indiana Pacers are in the NBA Finals, and they have some freaking QR code on their jersey instead of an NBA Finals logo. And I have to ask, NBA, are you really that poor that you need to put a QR code on your logo, on your uniform? Are you really that poor that you have to do that? Major League Baseball, are you really that poor that you have to have an insurance logo on Babe Ruth's Yankee uniform? And then the broadcast crew. Mike Breen's fine. Doris Burke, and I mean this with all due respect because I like Doris Burke. Doris Burke, I think, should be on the number two crew. I think she's good on the number two crew. I don't think she needs to be on the number one crew. And Richard Jefferson, he doesn't need to be anywhere near the number one crew. Not that Richard Jefferson's bad. It's just he's not experienced enough and he wasn't good enough of a player. They had it with Van Gundy and Jackson. You know, mama, there goes that man. But they decided budget cuts or whatever. I guess they had to spend more money on the NBA, so they fired him. I just think the people that run the NBA and run ESPN, they don't know what people actually like. That's the only thing I can come up with on that. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Howard is up next here on our program. Howard, thank you for calling and waiting. Go ahead.
Hey there, Jared. How are you today?
Good. Go.
Good. My thought on the NBA, and I want to get your take on this. I played a ton of basketball back in the day. I'll be 62 in a couple of weeks, and I've seen the game progress and change through the years like all of us. And my thought, and I really am curious to see what you think about this. My thought is, ever since Michael Jordan, there used to be a thing called palming of the basketball, and the whistle would blow, and they would give the ball to the opposing team. When Michael Jordan came on board, that kind of went away. And you watch SGA, about 50% of the time when he's making a drive, he's palming. He's on the side of the basketball and manipulating it. That puts the defense in an awful position. It creates injuries,
Howard, I got to tell you, this sounds like a very well thought out call, and I do appreciate you calling. And I will say this, like minor infractions, traveling, palming, those things, the NBA, they don't call those things. That said, I can live with palming. Like I can live, again, you know, like an obvious carry I have an issue with. I can live with a palming of the basketball. What I don't need is I don't need 73 ads on the court. That bothers me more. I don't need the 73 ads on the court. That's just me. One texter says, the answer is yes, the NBA is that poor. I don't think they are. You know, again, I heard that the deal for these jersey patches, like in baseball, it's like $6 million. I'm like, $6 million? That's a middle reliever. If I owned a baseball team and we had a payroll, and I don't know what the payrolls are, but let's say $200 million is the going rate of a payroll. I'm just throwing that out there. If I was a baseball team and we had a $200 million payroll, and you came to me and said, hey, KY Jelly wants to be the uniform patch for this proud franchise. I would say, how much are they going to pay? Oh, they're going to pay $6 million a year. Nah, let's operate with a $194 million payroll before we put a KY Jelly ad on our uniform. Okay? That's what I would say. I don't think the NBA is that poor. So I'm going to run through a bunch of these texts just because I think they're pretty good. One texter says, I figured out last week that I'd rather watch college softball than the NBA every single day. Unfortunately, as softball ended, I figured this out. The NBA stinks. Another texter says, it's not you. The NBA sucks. Another texter says, the NBA needs a LeBron versus Curry-like rivalry to keep it interesting, and these two teams do not have that. Ben says, the NBA is a horrible product. The NBA brought this upon themselves. The NHL is way more exciting. I'll watch the NHL playoffs 10 times out of 10. I agree with that, but the NHL playoffs have been, the TV ratings have been horrendous. NBA teams have no game plan. It's just a free-for-all. Struggle to get to the basket or shoot threes. It's not basketball. JD says, the players don't even like the game. Jokic is the best player on the planet, and he couldn't wait to get out of town after Denver won the title a couple years ago. Stars across the league are the same. They like being basketball players, but they don't actually like basketball. Kenneth says the NBA is garbage. Chip says, NBA's been awful for a long time, but we are ignorant per Joe Rexroad for thinking that. One texter says, thank you for the info. I don't need to watch. I'll just look for the score. Is there something that has changed that you actually enjoy? You sound like an old man yelling about how you don't like everything that is different. I don't know. I like college baseball. I've watched that. It's been pretty good. I like the rules that have changed for Major League Baseball. I like the universal designated hitter. I don't want to watch pitchers bat. I like the pitch clock in baseball. I like the two throwovers. I like more action. I like limiting the shift. I like the rules we've made in baseball. Let's see. I like the switch from Monday night football being the premier game to Sunday night football. I like the 4-team college football playoff over the BCS. Now I think 12's too much. I think we'd be good with 8, but I'd like that change. So yes, I don't think it's me. I think it's the NBA. All right. 615-737-1025. Speaking of college baseball, Tennessee is no longer the defending national champion, and I feel even stronger in a belief that I have held and stayed firm behind no matter what Vol fans say. We'll get to that next. Stoneman & Company, 102.5 The Game.